Welcome to
Murder in the Moonlight.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Kate.
Join the discussion live on Instagram at history underscore and underscore shit on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Follow us not only for updates on Murder in the Moonlight, but for information on when History and Shit, a show about history and a bunch of other shit, will be airing on YouTube. You can also follow us on Facebook at History and Shit, Twitter at History and Shit, and Tumblr at History and Shit.
Today's episode is part one about the Scream murder and is being presented by Emily.
I just realized I left my notes downstairs. I have to call for my notes. So this case happened, I believe it was in 2006 because I left my notes downstairs. I cannot be 100% sure on that. So, one second. So it happened in September of, yes, request. Go live with Kate. Okay. It happened in September of
Will it work this
2000.
time?
The weekend of September 20th. Okay, can we hear you this time?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can, but you're really quiet. But last time
Oh.
that happened, it came through just fine on the replay. So I don't know. I don't know. I left my notes downstairs. So I'm like, I texted Aaron, like, can you run my notes up, please? Because
Yeah.
I left them downstairs, like a genius.
I'm sorry.
But I was just saying this happened in September of 2006. Am I right on the year? Do you
I think
remember?
so. That sounds
I think
right.
it's, I'm pretty sure it's 2006. So we had Cassie Joe. I just had to double think and make sure I said Cassie, not Casey. Okay. Cassie Joe Stoddard. She was 16 years old. Sorry, I'm communicating with my husband as to where he can find the notes. Couch, notebook. 16 years old, just living her best life, doing her thing. Like, everybody had nice stuff to say about her. There's nobody involved in this case who didn't have nice things to say about her.
Yes, it was
She was.
2006. I just looked it up.
Oh, thank you so much. So, yeah, she was super responsible, and that's why her aunt and uncle asked her to house sit while they went on vacation for the weekend. So it was her aunt, her uncle, and her 13-year-old cousin. And they had two dogs and three cats, or was it two dogs and or two cats and three dogs? I have it written
That
down.
I don't
Oh, my
remember.
notes is dry. Let's see how many animals they had in the house. Do, do. Those are other cases, not this one. Animal sitting.
Okay,
Three cats, two
not
dogs.
yours.
Okay. All right, thank you, dear. So yeah, that's a lot of animals you can't just like leave alone. So they asked her to house sit and take care of the animals. So let's see. Oh, a little bit of background. She had one brother and one sister, and they lived with their grandparents. And I didn't get to being able to find out why they lived with the grandparents. That on the one that I listened to and watched and was researching, I didn't see why they were living. But it doesn't matter. They were good kids. They didn't have problems. So yeah, so she agrees she's going to watch the house, take care of the animals for this weekend, and she calls them up and says, "Hey, can my boyfriend Matt come over for a bit?" And they were like, "Yeah, we know you guys, you're responsible. That's fine. He can come over and hang out for a bit so you don't have to be in this big secluded house," because it was secluded. It was like, now I'm trying to remember how far away they said the nearest neighbors were. If it was like an 18-minute drive to the nearest neighbor, or if they were 18 miles, I don't remember. But it was secluded, and it was a rich people house. So her and her boyfriend Matt are just chilling out, getting ready to put on a movie, and the doorbell rings, whatever, and there's Tori and Brian. Now, Tori and Brian were kind of Cassie's friends. Like, they were her friends, but not the we randomly show up to hang out type of friends. But
Right.
they were more, yeah, and they were more Matt's friends. Like, that was what made it not so awkward that they showed up.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, what you guys up to? And they're like, kind of just sitting down and watch a movie, nothing spectacular. And so everybody sits down to watch the movie. And it gets, they're there for a little while, but then Brian and Tori are like, we're bored. We're taking off. We're going to go see a movie. Bye, guys. Peace out. A little after that, the dogs start barking and acting weird. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of like, okay, we don't know what's going on with the, like, seriously, Cassie and Matt had to be so super chill. The fact right. that either they were super chill or they were just really scared. One or the other. But, like, the dogs are acting crazy. They're, like, not checking that out. The lights go off. They're, like, not checking that out. Lights come back on. A little while later, they go off again. Same thing. Not checking that out. Nope, we're good. Mm-hmm. So this continues for a little bit. And it's late in the afternoon, and it's time for Matt to go. So he calls his mom, and he's like, can I actually stay? Because there's some weird stuff going on, and I'm worried about Cassie. And,
yeah.
You know, and their mom, his mom, like, rightfully is like, no, that's not happening. You guys are 16.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll pick Cassie up with you when I pick you up, and she can come and she can spend the night at our house.
Right.
But Cassie said, no, I said I was going to stay here and take care of the house and the animals, so I'm going to stay here and take care of the house and the animals. So I'll be fine. It's fine. Right. And she was there, like, after Matt left. So when Matt went to leave, he called Brian and Tori and actually told them, hey, I'm heading out because I wanted to see, like, if they were done at their movie and they wanted to go hang out and do some stuff together. And I don't remember exactly what they told them. They were like, no, we're good. It's call it a night. It's late. So after that, nobody hears from Cassie again until I believe it was that Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sunday night, not Monday. Yeah, okay. So that's Sunday night. Aunt, uncle, and cousin return home, and her 13-year-old cousin walks into the living room to find her laying there in a pool of blood.
Right.
Now I'm trying to, where I wrote on here, how many times she was stabbed.
20-something.
Hmm?
It was 20-something. Like, I want to say
it was,
like,
it was a lot.
20, 21 times, maybe 10 by one and 11 by the other. Something like that.
Yeah, let me see if I wrote down who did what. See, like, I made my notes all super organized, but that also means I left big spaces in between, so I have to, like, flip from page to page.
Yeah.
And I guess I did not write down how many was done by who.
I don't know if they knew by who. It was, they knew one knife did, one type of knife did a certain amount, and one type of knife did another amount, but they, from what research I had done anyway, they didn't necessarily say which was which.
Well, I said they, I think they said there were 12 by one. One of them did 12, and then one of them did other ones. And, like, was it three of those 30 stabs that were the ones that were fatal?
No, there was more than that, but it was, were able to determine that both knives did a fatal wound, at least one fatal wound.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that it was multiple. And that really messed her cousin up too.
Right.
Like, well, it messed the whole family up, and they wanted, her aunt and uncle were just trying to, like, sell the house and move, and, like, mm-hmm. who wants to stay there when that's what happened to your loved one? But they could never sell that because of what happened there. They could never get away from it. And the 13-year-old cousin ended up dealing with really nasty depression. She attempted suicide later on. Like, it totally screwed her up.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, why wouldn't
it? A lot to go through.
Yeah. That's, I can't imagine, like, how horrible that would have been.
Now, in regards to them not checking anything when, like, the lights went out, or the electricity went out, mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking about that. I'm like, usually, at least now, when the electricity goes out for me, first thing I'm going to be doing is going on my phone and then checking the electric company's website to see if there's a known mm-hmm. reason for the outages. If you don't even live there and know, like, you might just be like, oh, it's probably just an outage in the neighborhood, or oh, it's because the house is out in the middle of nowhere and it'll probably come back on. And you're not going to think someone cut the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's not necessarily yeah. my first thought when the power goes okay. out where I live, and especially not at 16. I wouldn't have been thinking that either.
That's one of those things where sometimes I forget that people did not have my same experiences growing up.
Right.
Because right. that house, well, you know about the house I grew up in. Mm-hmm. Like, you try to run the microwave and the vacuum at the same time and you blow the circuit, so.
Yeah, so you would have known how
the house was built either in 1912 or 1914. Nobody can agree on that. So, like, old-ass house. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, the power goes out. Like, go check the breakers, look out the window right. and see if the name. But they didn't have neighbors to, like, be able to right. check out the window and see. Yeah. So, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm, like, thinking, like, when I was a kid, the house I grew up in, that didn't, like, the power didn't go out that often. So I mm-hmm. didn't know where the breakers were. And, like, usually my parents would be the one taking care of it, or maybe one of my older siblings. Like, I was never the one checking the breaker. And so she might have been in that kind of situation. Plus, this isn't her house, so she might just not know where the breaker is. Like, if I were house-sitting for someone and I didn't know where the breaker was, would probably not go search for it. Would probably be like, maybe yeah. it's just an outage in the neighborhood and it'll be back on soon and I'll see if I can wait it out. And then if they're not your dogs, you might be like, oh, I don't know what they're freaking out about, but it's probably something normal. Maybe there's a squirrel outside that they heard in the tree or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dog barks at the wall for no reason at all. She gets upset.
Doesn't she also like sit at the end of your bed and bark into the hallway?
Occasionally, not very often. That sounds like, a lot of people tell me, like, oh, she's barking at ghosts, and I understand that that one sounds really weird, but I promise, like, she's just being weird and, like, growling at nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm pretty sure we've had a mouse, and we think she hears the mouse in the wall, and so mm-hmm. sometimes we're like, oh, I think she's barking because she hears a mouse. But sometimes she's also just like, I'm gonna randomly bark at the mirror in the bathroom because I'm in a weird mood. She's just a weird dog that does that. We have two dogs. The other dog, not noticing a damn thing.
Yeah, because I remember I was video chatting with you, and she, like, jumps up on your lap and starts with the growling, like, what yeah. is your problem, little girl?
So to an extent, it's also like, oh, I'm not the most familiar with these dogs. Like, I'm not going to jump to conclusions as to what they're growling at or what they're barking at. You know, like, mm-hmm. just kind of wanted to bring up that up as kind of a... I don't think it's completely abnormal to not get up yeah. and check things, because a lot of times I wouldn't. I would, like, if the power went out and my dogs were barking, I'm not going outside. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even 16. I'm definitely not going outside to check and see if someone's there. If that yeah. makes sense. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah, well, no, and I wasn't trying to criticize them for it at all. I'm like...
Yeah.
Thinking, you have to be pretty chill to just be like, okay, that's what happened. Like,
yeah.
But yes, we all know I was raised weird. Well, yeah. not everybody knows I was raised weird. You know I was raised weird.
Right.
So we're good on that. Yes, I was raised very much so in a household. It's like, if something goes wrong, you fix it. You just do. And, like, I don't know, for all of the weird paranoid things my mom had about how we were going to get, like, murdered and all sorts of like seriously, I don't remember if I've told you or not. You probably heard the story. She's like, you cannot stand between two cars that are parked like bumper to bumper, but they have that gap.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, never walk between that gap. Never stand between that gap, because one of them can become unparked, slip out of gear, and like roll forward or roll backward and pin your legs, and then you're legless for the rest of the, like, weird shit.
Yeah.
And for all that weird shit, it's like, yeah, it's the middle of the night and the power went out in the middle of winter. Get your ass outside and flip the circuit breaker, because right. the breaker box was outside of the house. Like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No. Totally would have gotten killed if there had been a killer out there.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. And it was neighborhood, like, in that neighborhood.
Because I would have been sitting on the couch, and that's what she did, and she got killed, so... It's not like my plan would have been good.
Yeah. Well, in that neighborhood too, you couldn't, like, if somebody did attack you, it's not like you could scream for help, right? Because of those neighbors we had who were always fighting and screaming for help.
Oh yeah, yeah, doesn't. Sometimes in general, so, you can't scream for help, because I think there's a case, probably one that we'll cover at some point, I think, but there's one that's like, some woman that was like murdered outside of her apartment. And she was screaming for help.
Oh, yeah, I was just looking at that kitty. Hold on, I have it written down, because I was just looking at that case. That's one we're totally going to be covering soon. Her name is Kitty. Her last name starts with a G. Hold on, I got to flip to where I actually took the notes. On this side of the page. Kitty Genovese. And that was in Queens, New York in 1963.
And this is one of the fun things.
Right outside of the apartment building, what was stabbed to death and screaming the entire time. There were over 30 witnesses, and they all just closed their windows.
Right.
Like, nope, not getting involved.
And this is one of the fun
effect.
Yeah, the fun things that, like, you get taught as a woman is, like, if someone's attacking you or trying to murder you or trying to rape you or trying to abduct you, don't yell for help. Yell that there's a fire. Because people are just going to watch you get stabbed in the street and not do a damn thing about it.
Yeah, that's what I was always taught. Like, even in school, when they had the school safety programs, they're like, yell fire.
Yeah,
nobody
cares.
That's
what I was taught too. No one's gonna help you if you yell, help me.
Yep.
Which, thankfully, there are also cases.
No, I would have died. If the power went out and there had been a murder in my house or outside my house, I would have died so fast. Anyhow, back to these kids who weren't me and grew up normal.
Normal, so, and you still murdered one of their friends.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I said, I'm like, normal, because, you know, the two of them did kind of murder their friend from school, so.
Yeah. Well, no, I was talking about Cassie.
Yeah,
Cassie and Matt. Yeah. No, Tori and Brian are
not normal.
Like, I've been trying to think and wondering, like, if I play a clip on the video from my phone, if my tablet would pick it up, because, you know, we're so high-tech over here.
Yeah.
But, oh, my gosh. Like, you have to hear them. It's not enough that they're saying the bullshit stuff that they say. You have to actually hear it. So, skipping ahead.
Right.
I've got to find a place to put this down, because it's going to bounce around and be nasty.
We were kind of still keeping it not, this is definitely what happened, but yeah, Brian and Tori.
Well, anybody who's been on our Instagram would see that I've been posting pictures and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, oh my gosh, I am so sorry about this You know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have people pay us for this shit, and then I can buy a camera stand.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, except no.
Could happen. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, let me see if I can... Getting really, really technical with the way I'm arranging the pillows on my bed.
It works!
It works! It works! Okay, let me grab my phone here. Maybe. Ugh. Okay, so... Yeah, so after they find her body, the first person they go to question is Matt, because he's the last known person that was with her.
Right.
And so the police are like, yeah... That boyfriend there, that looks good, because it always does look like, seriously, what is it, 80%?
Probably.
I know for women it's 80%, because I know 80% of women who are murdered by their domestic partners. I don't know what the average is for all genders, though.
Right.
But it's freaking, that's a word now. Pretty freaking high up there. Now, I'll tell you who is freaking, Brian and Tori.
Yeah.
So,
as I've been getting more into true crime again. Which, of course, I've been a true crime fan all of my life, but I kind of took a break from it for a while. And now I'm getting back into it. And I'm like, as a divorced person as well, I'm like terrified of how many times it's the spouse. And it's because, like, they're having an affair or they just kind of want out of the marriage and also bonus money. And just how many times your spouse will murder you. And I'm like, oh, Shit, I don't ever want to be married again.
Yeah, that's like, one of the reasons I said, terrifying. Like, if anything ever happened with Aaron and I in our marriage, he's going to kick my butt for saying his name this many times. He's very private. He doesn't like his name put out there. But yeah, if anything ever happened in our marriage, be like, you would have to be pretty freaking convincing to get me to even, like, go on a date. Screw that. You'd have to be pretty freaking convincing to get me to video chat somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, romance is for dead people. Mm-hmm. So, I totally derailed myself. Right, so they're interviewing the boyfriend, Matt.
Also,
and like, Penny. Even though it's like the very serious, hi Penny. Even though it's the very typical, oh my gosh,
she's so funny.
Excuse me while I like yank this alien out of my mouth that doesn't know how to speak. Oh my gosh. Okay. Stereotypical. We like the boyfriend for this, like as they're actually talking to him, mm-hmm. and they have the conversation with his mom and everything. And he's like, when they picked him up, he didn't know she was dead. Like, he was freaking out because he'd been trying to get a hold of her mm-hmm. ever since night to make sure that she was okay and be like, what is happening here?
Right.
So, yeah, it's like, okay, he looks good for it, except he doesn't look good for it because the actual is not holding up.
Right.
And so the police asked him about, okay, well, what else was going on? Is there anything strange? Like, okay, well, Brian and Tori showed up. So the police pick up Brian and Tori, and now I can't remember Matt's last name, and I was a jerk and didn't write it down. So,
oh, I can see.
Maybe that's for the best. People need to leave him alone. But Tori, Adamczyk, and Brian. Oh my gosh, I had it 2 seconds ago. Brian. Draper, I think. I'm double checking now.
Yeah, no, that sounds
right. Yes. Okay, so they brought them in, and these boys are
Matt
like...
Matt Beckham.
Huh?
Matt Beckham.
Oh, Beckham for the last... Okay. So, the boys give the story of, okay, yeah, we were there for a little bit, got bored, went to movies, and they had their ticket stubs. Mm-hmm. We went to the movie. Okay, and they circle around and come back to Matt, and they're like, seriously, Matt, come on, tell us the truth. I'm telling the truth. He's like thinking about it, and he's like, yeah, even when I left, like, I called them and let them know I was leaving. I don't have any clue what could have happened, because he trusted Brian and Tori. Right. There was not the thought in his mind, because they were his friends and they were Cassie's friends, and
yeah.
You know, it's just oh yeah, it was weird that they showed up. Maybe they saw something I didn't type thing. He wasn't pointing fingers.
Right.
So they get, I'm trying to remember exactly how this went down, because I think that there were two times that they were interrogated, and then the third time is when things went moving, because I know that the police went back to ask.
Yeah, I know. Part of it was that the police were like, oh, okay, you were at this movie, you have these movie ticket stubs. What, tell us about the movie. Who was in it? What exactly. was it about? And they had no idea.
Yeah, they couldn't even, like, what was the movie? It's right there on their ticket stub, and they can't even see what the movie is.
Yeah. And they had no idea who was in it. They had no idea what it was about.
They were asking. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Just that they couldn't say who was in the movie or what it was about or anything.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, you were really at that movie.
Yeah.
So at that movie.
Which, that was making me laugh, reading about that part, because, dumb story. So, for our viewers, if you ever wonder how we know each other, I used to be married to Emily's brother. And back when we were dating, there was this one time where we were going to go to a movie, and we ended up running late and didn't get to the movie in time. So instead, we just made out in my car. But I went home, and my mom asked what we did on our date, and I didn't want to admit that to her because I was going to get in trouble. So I told her that we went to this movie that we didn't go to. And literally, she never asked, like, follow-up questions. She wasn't going to be, like, suspicious, but she was like, oh, what's that one about? And I was like, And I had to make up the entire plot of this movie that I did not see. to my mom and then hope that she never watched it herself and was like, wait a minute, which she didn't. Totally got away with it, whatever. But so I'm watching this and I'm like, you guys, you didn't even look up a preview of the movie or anything.
Like, you guys can be the next Ed Gein. You can't even lie about your alibi.
Right? I'm like, man, I was better at coming up with an alibi when I was just making out with a boy in my car. You murdered someone. You've got to get this, you know, a little better planned out than that.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember, like, I'm trying to remember when exactly IMDb became a thing. Yeah. But I think by 2006 it was a thing. Like, you didn't have it on your phone, but you could still.
Yeah.
Or just freaking Google a trailer for the movie. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, I don't remember what year YouTube became more of a thing. But YouTube might have been there at that point in time. Yeah. It might have been new. Well, like, but even if it wasn't, you could still look it up on the internet. You could still look up movie trailers on the internet in 2006 for sure.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know. I was 20. That means that was about the time that I lived with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, no, you could totally.
Like, I remember watching music videos on YouTube all the time during that time.
Sorry, what?
Oh, I remember watching music videos on YouTube around that time.
So yeah, because I think that was, Facebook was a thing back then, because I remember it was about the time I moved in with you guys that I had. Yeah, this is just dating us. Because it was about the time I moved in with you guys that I had that friend, and he was like, I was on my phone. So have you gotten on Facebook? And I'm like, what the crap is Facebook? He's like, you really need to get on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. And, you know, my 20-year-old ass is like, that's freaking kids and their newfangled crap. Now I gotta go, yeah, no. MySpace is so dead. But those were around that. You could totally have Googled a trailer to find out what this movie you said you were at is about. And like, no one person who was in the movie.
Right.
And I don't remember what the movie is. I don't know that they ever even said in the stuff I was looking
for. Yeah, I don't remember that either being specified.
The point is, you freaking film school geniuses and brilliant murderers, make shit up.
Right?
So, there is a reason I keep going off on these kids like this, and we're going to talk about it in just one second, but yeah, like, because these kids were freaking...
They're dumb.
So... I don't even know which word to go through first, like, self-important, self-delusional,
And just cringeworthy.
Just, like, so absorbed in themselves and... their whole ideals of making themselves infamous. Mm-hmm. But what did end up happening, though, is they had the initial interrogations and going back to Matt and whatever, and the police are still trying to figure this out, and Brian shows up at the police station crying and is like, okay, let's go talk about this, ready to confess. And he says that he was there, but he did not kill Cassie. And then he ends up admitting a little bit into it that, well, I did stab her a couple of times, but that was at Tori made me do it. And he tells the police that I need to put my water on that he and Tori, so he tells the story of that night. He says, okay, we went there and we went there knowing that we were going to pull a prank on Cassie. And if Matt was going to be there, him too. And when we were watching the movie, I pretended like I had to go to the bathroom. But what I really did was go downstairs and unlock the basement access to the house. And we went, when we said we were going to leave and go to the movie, what we really did was go and get dressed up, because they dressed up in, like, these Scream outfits.
Right.
And I am trying to remember, and it's really bad because I should have just re-listened to the original podcast that I listened to. With shout out to Morbid Podcast, because if you don't listen to them, you need to.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I think it was this one, but I could be wrong, where the one guy had the mask that was one of those fake masks that has the blood pouring.
Yeah. I think they had pictures on their Instagram, even, and I looked it up, and it was, like, this weird white, like, almost like handmade mask-looking kind of thing, and it had, like, blood splatter all over it, like, fake blood splatter. It was weird.
Because they were big fans of Scream, and they idolized... How can I forget the guy's name?
Billy?
Did I even write it down? Who was the bad guy in Scream?
Billy.
Her boyfriend.
Billy.
Billy. Yes, they idolized Billy.
And then the other one was Seth.
We have somebody watching.
Yay!
Lauren Elizabeth. Yay! Hi. So yeah, they idolized Billy from Scream.
Yeah.
And they thought... Of all the 5 million different things they thought they were also going to be Billy from Scream. So they were going to dress up in their scary Scream gear.
Yeah.
Which they did. They went and they dressed up in their scary Scream gear, and they came in through the basement door, and that's where the circuit breakers were.
Right.
So I feel like this should be a PSA moment where we were talking about the circuit breakers earlier. If you don't know where the circuit breakers in your house are, most likely they're in the basement. If you don't have a basement, I don't know how to help you.
Right. Also, if you're going to have someone watch your house, you might want to let them know where the circuit breaker is as well.
Yes. That's true. And if you have somebody animal sitting, you should probably let them know your animal's temperament.
Yes. Like, Penny was anybody tends to bark at the walls for absolutely no reason.
Just a PSA.
Yeah.
This is where you can find your stuff. So they waited down there, and they thought... that when they turned out the lights, when they flipped the circuit breakers, that Matt and Cassie would come downstairs. And that was their plan, is they were going to jump them as they came down the stairs in the dark. And it didn't work.
Yeah.
And they did it again. Like, as we said before, they did it a couple of times. Lights went out. Came back on. Lights went out. Came back on. And after Matt they did it again. And Cassie was just... never going to come down those stairs. That was right. Not happening. And that's when they decided that they needed to change their plan. And they ran upstairs and stabbed her to death. Mm-hmm. And there's... Oh, I was going to say, because there's video of it right here, which I'm going to try and do that stupid thing where I try to look something up and talk at the same time, so it might not go well. The big thing, though, is part of Brian's confession is he said that they took those costumes and they took the knives and anything else that they used in the murder. They bagged it up and they put it somewhere, and he was going to lead the police. Well, he did lead the police to where all that stuff was.
Right.
And when they... Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. I have no idea whether this will work. You're going to have to tell me if you can even hear this. Or if it's just garbled.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Can
you hear that?
But... Help. You restrict somebody from it, they're going to want it.
We shot our victim, and sad as it may be, she died our friend. But you know what? We all have made sacrifices. Our first victim is going to be Cassie's daughter. She's going to be alone in a big, dark house out in the middle of nowhere. How perfect can you get?
He sounds like Matthew Lillard.
Freaking dicks. Okay. After they kill her, they turn the video off while they kill her.
Right.
And then after, and it's on the same reel, but I'm not going to like sit there with you guys not being able to see anything for a minute, that they run out of the house and Brian is screaming. Not like screaming scared, but screaming in excitement. We killed her. We killed her. We just killed her. That tape
was in...
Doesn't he
say I killed her in the tape? I think that was very specific. I just killed her.
Yes, because he said both. He said we killed her. And then he did say, I killed her. And that's about the time that Tori was like, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I should. Do I have my headphones here that I can chew it out?
But for the record, in that...
Okay, but anyhow.
He sounded so much like Matthew Lillard, who was one of the actors that played one of the killers of Scream. So that was really bizarre. Or the first
one. Like, well, think about it. In Scream, Billy was actually evil efficient.
Yeah.
It's okay to say that killers were smart. A lot of people try to not say that killers were smart, but because nobody wants to admit that a serial killer could be smart. But it's okay. Some of them are smart. Smart doesn't negate being a dick.
Yeah.
So Billy was actually pretty smart. And then there's Matthew Lillard, who's the bumbling dolthead. Yeah. I want to be part of this. And that's Tori and Brian are both the bumbling dolthead. Mm-hmm. Just idiots.
So dumb.
Yeah, so the police get this tape. But there's more than just that. There's more than just driving up there to the house, which is what they were doing while they were filming that.
Right.
And there's more than just the after the murder. Mm-hmm. There are tapes that go weeks beforehand.
Right.
Because one of the big things that when I'm trying to remember, I think it was Brian was the one who moved into town. Let me double check my notes. And he was the new kid, and he and Tori just became really good friends. And one of the things that they bonded over was their love of horror films and their love of film in general.
Right.
And back in 2006 was when you had all the video class kids who would run around with their cameras everywhere and nobody thought anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, hey, just a... stick it in there. Kids were running around filming crap before phones, people.
Right.
Anyhow. And they did. They had weeks of this where they were talking and conspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And they were even talking to Cassie. Like, I'm trying to double check the validity of the date on this one. Because one site had it listed as the day of her murder. But I could have sworn she died on a Saturday. Maybe it was a Friday night. I don't know. But even just whether it was that Friday that they killed her or the Saturday, the film is the school morning before. They have her on film. And, you know, I posted one of the clips on the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're just like, hey, I've got you on film. Say hi for the camera. But they'd been telling everybody that they were filming a horror movie.
Right.
And, right. You know, everything, if they got caught talking weird, which they really didn't. I think that's one of the most astounding stuff is you see them sitting in their class.
Yeah.
Talking about this stuff. Like with this camera in front of them.
Murder people.
Yeah, about how... And nobody caught it. And I've been a teacher, granted preschool, but still arguably preschool's even more rowdy. So I get how, as a teacher, you're not always aware of what's going on in your class. I totally get that because you're being pulled in a million different directions. None of the other kids, though, cared. This is what we just talked about, the Genovese effect.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. So, and if anybody did care, this were a horror movie. They even asked Cassie if she wanted to be in their horror movie.
Right. Knowing that they were not making a horror movie, they were planning on killing her. And they still were we're going to still pretend this and talk to you about it.
Well, but if you ask the boys, each one of them says that the other one is the one who actually did it, and they just thought it was a prank. Anyhow, so they have these tapes, and they're going through them, and we've got just this whole documentation of all of the pre-planning, including in the car leading up to her aunt and uncle's house, and right after they left. Which, actually, it looks like they took off their costumes before they turned the camera back on. Because Brian was the one holding the camera, and Tori was the one who's seen on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to read, it's the same clip I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
From their thing, the tape that's right before they go
okay
to the house. So Okay, that's the part where we just read. We're going to kill her and her friends, and we're going to keep moving on. Did I turn it off before Tori said that he was horny just thinking about it?
I'm not sure.
This is my memory, people. It was 2 seconds ago, and I have no idea.
I think he did turn it off before he said that. I don't remember hearing him say that, but...
I must have turned it off right before he says, I'm horny just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam said, hell yeah, so we're going to fucking kill her and her friends, and we're going to keep moving on. I heard some news about... They redacted the name. She's going to be home alone. Oh, well, why'd they redact the name? It's Cassie. Duh, everybody knows it. Whatever. This transcript is redacting the name of somebody we know is going to die. She's going to be home alone from 6 to 7, so we might kill her and drive over to... Oh, no, this was somebody different. I'm sorry, that's my bad. I was the idiot. So it was somebody else that they were going to kill and then go over to Cassie and kill her. And then drive over to Cassie's thing and scare the shit out of them and kill them one by fucking one. Hell yeah. Tori, which one by one? Why can't it be a slaughterhouse? Brian, 2 by 2 and 3 by 3, because we've got to keep it classy. Keep it classy. So yeah, it's going to be extra fun. You're evil, Tori says. You're evil. You're evil. Yes, I am. So are you, dude. Evil. Evil. No, evil is an expression of God. That was another test. You failed. Evil is not an expression of God. Yes, it is. That's bullshit, and you know it. Evil of origin is a follower of fucking Satan. There is no Satan. Is Satan real? Then shut up. Then how are we supposed to express ourselves? Good and bad. We're bad. We're bad. We're bad. That sounds so shitty. We're evil? That sounds even shittier. Hey, we're not, okay? Then we are 6 psychopaths who get their pleasure off killing other people. That sounds good, baby. We're going to go down in history. We're going to just be just like Scream, except real life. That sounds good, baby. Who says that, by the way? That sounds good, baby. We're going to be murderers like, let's see, Ted Bundy. Like the Hillside Strangler? No. The Zodiac Killer? Those people were more amateurs compared to what we are going to be. We're going to be more of higher sources of Ed Gein? Gein. Well, let's say that we're sick and twisted. Oh, you know what Ed Gein's words were, which, by the way, I can't remember who the killer was that actually said what he's about to reference here.
It was... Edmund Kemper.
Yes, Kemper's the one who said they couldn't even get their Eds right because they at first Tori is like he tries to say his name as starting with the GL and he has to stop and Adam has to be like Gein? Yeah, Gein. And then he says this quote that is, first of all, misquoted. Second of all,
wasn't it? Yeah.
2 questions came to his head. I could take her out and have a nice time with her, Brian. Brian interjecting right here. And then kill her? Skin her alive? Charm the pants off her? Or I wonder what her head would look like on a stick. Holy shit. It's creepy, huh? Kick ass. And then they laugh, and Adam says that murder is power, murder is freedom, goodbye. I love this last one right here after Brian tries to, like, I shouldn't be laughing about this, because it's really, the murder itself is horrible and tragic,
right.
But I can't help but laugh at these guys, because like, they were so ridiculous.
16-year-old yeah, trying to wax poetic about freedom, murder.
And then you just have Tori, and the video cuts out. But yeah. I had to read that because it really puts into picture who these guys are. And there's just one conversation and they're sitting there bickering in the car.
Trying to wax poetic about being evil when they're like 16 and they don't know what they're talking about.
No, they're trying to like sound epic. It's like they're trying to get their witty catchphrase before they go, or at least Brian is trying to, like, lay down some sort of witty catchphrase.
Yeah.
And Tori's just like, you freaking idiot, except I'm also an idiot, so I'm going to, instead of just saying you're an idiot, I'm going to prove how smart I am.
Right.
By not knowing the serial killers in this Cloten shit.
Yeah.
So for those, for our viewers who are not as familiar with true crime and serial killers as some others, Ed Gein gained popularity because he is most famously the one that Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, and then is it Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, Buffalo Bill from Silence Buffalo of Bill. The Lambs is somewhat based off of him. Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre is slightly based off of him, and Norman Bates from Psycho is slightly based off of him.
Yeah.
Though all are very fictionalized and not
deeply.
Yeah, very fictionalized.
Deeply. But that's how he gained popularity. That's why people hear his name and they think he was notorious. Right. When actually he killed, what was it you were saying? He killed like two people?
He killed and two then grave robbed the rest. He was a grave robber for a long time. And he had a partner in crime, and the two of them would go and dig up like freshly buried women. They would like watch the papers for obituaries of women, and then they would go and dig them up and take their body. And then he would like skin them and stuff like that. And then his partner in crime, basically his kids, had him put in a home. So Ed Gein was like, I can't dig up these bodies by myself. That's way too much work. So then he just went out and killed people. And he only killed two before he was caught. He was very sloppy, left a really obvious trail to him, and then didn't have anything hidden. Like, his house was covered with, like, body parts and everything. And not only that, the murder victim was, like, the sheriff's mom.
Yeah, so she owned a store, right?
And what was that?
Did she own this store, or was it she owned the store?
The store. It was like a general store.
And he had freaking receipts from just going in there earlier that day, too.
Yeah. And so the sheriff was like, I think I'm going to go check on Ed and see if he knows anything about this. Goes to Ed's house and finds the body of his mother hanging in the garage.
So I guess, in a way, they were like Ed Gein because they were sloppy.
Yeah.
And stupid.
But then it's also funny, like, even if they got it mixed up with Ed Kemper, like, his thing was that he was a little sloppy, too. And then when he eventually killed his mother, he was like, oh, I'm done killing people, and turned himself in.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Not a great one to be, you know, emulating if you want to get away with this kind of stuff. And also suggesting that Ted Bundy is not to their level when they can't even research the fucking movie that they're saying that they went to.
Yeah, and I don't know much about the Hillside Strangler, which I will amend at some point. Because into enough true crime stuff.
Yeah.
Either way. But Ted Bundy,
right?
He is like, when we cover Ted Bundy at some point, it's going to be multi-episode, even having hour-long episodes.
Yeah.
Because he was so incredibly prolific.
It's true. And it's like, Ted Bundy at one point had all of these people doing this like massive manhunt for him in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And was caught by one of the people that was part of the manhunt, and he was so charming that he was like, that's not me. And they're like, yeah, clearly that couldn't be you. And then like walked away.
Yeah. That was one of the big things with Ted Bundy, is just how congenial and good looking he was. He just,
yeah. And it's like, then you look at, you know, these two dumb 16-year-olds who filmed themselves talking and planning the murder, talked about it openly in public, you know, and then did so poorly in trying to cover up what happened when being interrogated by police. And it's like,
they were, there's that part of, well, no, I'm just going to go say, holy, I am glad that they were such horrible screw ups because, we
don't want people to be the cow at this.
Yeah,
I don't want you to be as good as Ted Bundy was. But if you're going to claim it, I'm going to tear apart your argument. That's all. I don't.
Oh, but they weren't going to be Ted Bundy. They were going to be better than Ted Bundy. They were going to be at Dean. Well, let's see. Socially awkward, sloppy. Yeah, they got it.
Yeah.
Just needed a, you know what? I'm not going to say that line because that's crossing the line into creepy lady. So, yeah, the police have this and they're like, they're moving forward with the prosecution now. Or getting them indicted because you have to have an indictment before you can prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
And Tori is very adamant that he has basically the same story that Brian does. I thought it was Frank. Brian's the one who actually killed her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And as you had established earlier, that when they went through the stab wounds, they had determined that there were two different knives used and that both of those knives made fatal wounds.
Right. I believe like one was serrated and one was not. So that's why they were able to tell so easily, like one person had a serrated knife and one person had a not serrated knife, and both types of knives inflicted fatal wounds. So no one can say like, oh, I tried to only stab her superficially though. The other guy was the one that wanted to really murder her. Like, both of them caused fatal wounds and could have been, you know, the ones that murdered her.
And the knives were found with the bundle of stuff that Brian led them to.
Right.
There were five knives total in the bundle.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Yes, and then two of them were the ones
that
were
actually. Collected knives was something.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, because that was one of the big things when they were talking to other people. Building their case about that. And it's okay, would it have been, were they doing anything unusual? You can't say like trying to get this certain type of knife was unusual because Tori collected knives.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was nothing, aside from the fact they were filming all of this stuff and talking about it nonstop, there was nothing that really pointed to the fact that they were going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And as stated, they were very adamant to, like, anybody who would poke their nose in there that this was... Not that a whole lot of people did, but that's, like, why they got away with getting Cassie on film multiple times.
Right.
Right. During this is because they said, I forgot to say that this was in Pocatello, Idaho. Right. I totally forgot. I said what date it was, but this was in Pocatello, Idaho that happened. And... They did. They had this back and forth of who actually did anything. The thing is, though, on the video, the only one who admits to the killing is Brian.
Right.
Because he has, they both talk about doing this leading up to, but the only voice on the video that actually says that they just killed her, I just killed Cassie, was Brian's voice.
Right.
And that was the big argument that Tori used in his case.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian didn't really get to use that.
Yeah. Not that it really and helped he tried- Tori, though. I don't think he's, like, received any lighter of a sentence than Brian did.
No. Oh, this is what I texted you or messaged you earlier about how the internet is making me want to puke. Because I wanted to double check the pronunciation of his last name.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up on this YouTube video, which I knew that this they had been interviewed as part of this movie. Mm-hmm. That was the Justice for Youth. But then I actually saw a clip of it. And I think this wasn't the, or Justice for Juveniles, excuse me. This wasn't from the actual official people who did the video.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like somebody who just kind of used the name and offshot, but it's all about how Tori was innocent. What would you do if your teenage boy was convicted of a murder and sentenced to life that he was innocent? And then, but it really went on about this. Like, imagine meeting someone and 6 weeks later, your entire life has changed. And so maybe it was Tori that was the one who moved in. I could have sworn it was Brian that was the one who moved in. Whatever.
Either way.
Yeah, it was kind of, so yeah, if anybody wants to pop on YouTube and be disgusted for
right
5 minutes. There's
although the one thing I did find funny is some of the footage that I've seen of Tori being interviewed is his parents talking for him and talking over him and barely letting him speak at all.
And yeah, that was the point I was going to get into as well.
Very entertaining. Like, they're just like, no, you don't get to talk. You don't get to have an opinion. You don't. Like, we've taken this over and we're going to talk about how you're innocent and you clearly didn't do this.
Yep.
And
which I'm just going to pop in here with my opinion that I'm sure is going to piss people off, but I'm going to say it anyway. Having those attitudes, hovering over your children like that and never making them be responsible for the things that they do is how you get serial killers. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into it. Like, they talk about the recipe. I'm sure that is not the word they use, but it's the word that's coming to mind of what makes a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, technically, these boys aren't really serial killers because they only ever killed once. Right. So there are a lot of things that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
But teaching your children that they don't have to be responsible for their actions.
Right.
When they're already have those other precursors that this is something that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't. And teenagers, and I say this with all the love and respect of teenagers. I freaking love teenagers. They're amazing. But it still doesn't mean that there aren't points of their development that are lacking. When you go into puberty, your brain begins a growth from a childhood brain into an adult brain. And the first part that grows is the amygdala, or gosh, I hope I said that right. And which is often referred to as the lizard brain. And that's the part of your brain that's responsible for the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And that grows before the logic and reasoning centers in the which I believe are in the prefrontal cortex,
mm-hmm.
are grow. So these teenagers are running on just raw emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And they also go into a secondary stage of egocentrism.
Right.
Where, you know, we talk about people think the world revolves around them, but for young children and for teenagers, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Truth and consequence just really have a hard time sticking in those stages.
Exactly.
So to have a brain that's already like that and is so subjective to outside input to be feeding that brain, and obviously from the time they were very little, so through the first stage of this happening, mm-hmm. and then into the secondary stage of this happening, to constantly be feeding them that there will not be consequences for their actions. Like, right. Look at the stupid crap teenagers do. And once again, with all respect and love to teenagers, because they're amazing. But things like, I remember as a teenager, and I was one of the good teenagers, like, I don't know, whoever didn't know me can feel however they want to feel about that, but I was one of the good teachers, my teachers freaking loved me. But I was still stupid enough that my friend and I would go, oh, shoot, you got 20 seconds remaining. Okay, we want to pick this up at another time. We'll have to finish this up later. All right, bye, guys. Love you. Thank you for watching.